Listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. That was Kim Wilde kicking us off with Kids in America, one of the character in Wine Country's DUI song, which is a guilty pleasure song. I don't know why they don't call it that. But I'm Leah. I'm here with Jessica. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning, Leah.
Good morning. We're also here with some very special guests, one of whom is currently in the studio.
Oh, she's totally not coming.
Yeah. Such again. A Becky move.
I didn't even share the shared photo folder with her because I knew she wasn't coming.
Yeah, that's why we just booked for 3 chairs in the studio today, because we knew. But today we are talking about Wine Country, the Netflix movie directed by Amy Poehler and starring Amy Poehler and her girl gang. But I don't think, did I formally introduce you?
No.
This is station manager Amanda, station mom, who is sitting in for our 5-year anniversary show.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Is this our annual performance review?
It is.
Because we're off to a flawless start so far. Absolutely flawless.
I'll be sending my notes later.
Please do.
It is very nice of the mission to throw us a parade every time.
Every year. Every year. It's really nice. It'd be nice if they, you know, let us ride afloat here. It would have been significantly easier than the way I had to get here this morning. But as I mentioned, we are talking about the Netflix movie Wine Country, with, as I said, directed by Amy Poehler and starring a gaggle of her gal pals. what did you guys think about the movie?
I liked it. I thought it was delightful. I read some of your notes before I actually watched it, and I heard that it wasn't getting such strong reviews, but yeah. I LOL'd several times, so that was fine.
Yeah.
And, I mean, more than that, but
yeah, I've watched it 4 times already.
Yeah,
and it really isn't because it's such an amazing movie, mm-hmm. but just because it's like a grilled cheese on mm-hmm. a cold winter day.
Totally.
There's something so familiar and comforting about it.
It is, that's the absolute word, is comforting. There's something that just, I don't know, it seems like it's one of those movies that when I am overwhelmed by our current peak TV choices and I don't know what to watch, I will throw on Wine Country. I feel like it is the equivalent of a caftan and a nice glass of wine, and
both of which were literally featured.
Doesn't require much of you, and yet it's a perfectly pleasant way to spend more than 90 minutes.
Yeah,
as you mentioned, Jess, the movie has not been widely applauded. I'm absolutely the demo for this movie, and I was going to be in no matter what.
Right.
I'm on record as saying that Maya Rudolph's face just makes me laugh, so mm-hmm. anything she says I find hilarious. The cast is Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph, Anna Gasteyer, Rachel Dratch, Emily Spivak, and Paula Pell, who mm-hmm. were both writers on Saturday Night Live and have been involved with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. Oh, Tina Fey is also in it. Have been involved with both of them for years. This whole crew has been. And I think that more than anything, there are some valid criticisms about the movie. It's not particularly deep. There's not, like, some of the reviews I read just said, like, there's not much to it,
yeah.
which I think in 2019 is the best we can hope for.
Honestly, I think what I found, you know, comforting and warming about it is that it got at female relationships mm-hmm. in a way that was sort of understated and not like...
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly revelatory, but I think it was something that maybe didn't translate for all audiences.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think there is more there than just a, like, comfort watch and, like, a...
Yeah, there was definitely... A couple times they talked about, like, oh, why does everyone keep saying that we're going to hate each other
right.
and cry? Mm-hmm. And yes, there was some drama, and that's, like, what led to some of the funnier moments.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it was very understated. It wasn't ever going to be that movie where, like, you know, oh, God, look at the women womening out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think that it just portrayed a real deep, like, the comfort and the shorthand that these people have with each other translated really well to mm-hmm. their characters. And I think that's super refreshing to see on screen, that it seemed genuine and it seemed earnest. One of the things, I didn't put this in my notes, but when I was thinking about it afterwards, one of the things that I really enjoyed was the fact that the movie ends with them. It's ostensibly about a girls' weekend for one of the characters is turning 50 and it's for her birthday. And it didn't end, they all sort of have these moments where they have revelations, but it didn't end with like a montage of them going home and all fixing their lives, you know, it ended with them still on the weekend. And you kind of feel like these women are still just going to go on with like doing
right.
their own shit, just like everyone does in their life.
Yeah.
But it's, there's something like rewarding and kind of renewing for them to come together and like have this time with mm-hmm. people
and
who've known you.
And have it affirmed like what these relationships each
do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have that time with like people who know you. I have a little bit of a cold and I've been on a lot of cold medicine. Mm-hmm. So I was down a very deep emotional wormhole about why this resonated with me when I put together my notes. I had some theories.
I have to say, just as someone that's been a guest several times on the show, if you're a guest on TV on the radio, you receive like a brief ahead of time. This was the most comprehensive brief. Like, I'm like, go publish this on like Bustle or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're yeah. War Room. Yeah,
that's our A+.
That's our War Room each week. Yeah.
But I think this one was like you were getting to something.
Well, as I said, that may have been the cold meds. But I really was trying to get at like, what is it that is different about female only trips, which are a huge joy in my life. I think there's a very different energy. There's a very we're all going to have an aura reading before the show is done, guys. So I'm just going there now. But I think there's just something like fundamentally different and kind of safe and comforting with being on a trip with just women. Mm-hmm. And I think that this movie had like some cliches and some tropes, but some that are so true. Like the scene in the hot tub where Maya Rudolph and Emily Spivak are like doing a drunken pledge of friendship mm-hmm. and talking about how like Maya Rudolph loves her husband. Prince was her true love. Like Prince, that is.
Nothing is more true to me than like getting really drunk and crying about dead musicians.
Not just dead musicians, but I feel like there's something about being with like other women that reverts you to this kind of like younger, more hopeful time in your life yeah. where you're like, all my choices are not made. Like I can still be with the ghost of Prince, you know. I have a ton of drunk texts that I sent to my sister-in-law after a night out with our like my mother-in-law ostensibly and her stepmom, and it was just me drunk watching Take That videos and talking about how I really feel like if when Ben dies that Mark Owen and I are gonna find our way back to each other somehow.
Back to each other.
Well, he met my best friend and gave her a note that said, Leah, have a wonderful life. So I feel like we have a deep connection.
Did you really mean that, Mark?
Yeah. Yes, he did. But I think there's just a lot that goes on when you're like in this space with other women who've known you for a long time. And just part of it is that these women are older and they're in a different place in their life. And I think that that brings a different energy to a girl's trip, too. Now you're like, Amanda, you guys are going to see Magic Mike and Robbie Williams. That's a dream fucking weekend.
For real?
Nora and I are going. Yes, we're going to Vegas.
Oh my God.
We did not invite you on just to get the invite for that. But I'm just saying, Robbie Williams was a founding member of Take That, if that makes a difference.
Yeah.
I can give you any and all information that you need about Robbie Williams.
I think one thing that wasn't really touched upon in the movie too much, but one thing that I really appreciate in personally growing older mm-hmm. is that you just get to a point where you're like, fuck it, man. Like, I'm just going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because it's pleasurable to me. And yeah. I'm like, I want to see Magic Mike. Like, I think it's ridiculous. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
And Nora got these tickets to see Robbie Williams from a friend. And I guess everyone she asked was like, what? No. And I was like, right
Hell
here.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this.
Have you been to a male review before?
I have. I have a long history with, well, not a long history, but I grew up in a town, in a suburb that had one main highway going into Boston, mm-hmm. Route 1 in Saugus, and there was a club complex that was called The Palace. Oh. And back in the day, they had an all-male review called Men in Motion.
Ooh.
It was problematic on several levels. They wouldn't let men inside because, like, no homo. But it was, like, the most hilariously magical place where For example, I went in and saw a stripper dressed as the Phantom of the Opera stripping to Puttin' on the Ritz and like making suggestive motions with his walking cane and was just like, yes, please, every weekend. But then I knew people that took it really, really seriously and would like go and like had favorites and thought they were going to like date these guys. And I was like, oh, no, no, like you're getting too deep into it.
So you're saying on some girls' weekend somewhere on the East Coast, there's a bunch of texts about, like, does anyone remember that stripper for the Phantom of the Opera stripper? Because I really feel like we'll find our way back to each other someday.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, someone was like, oh, we're vibing. No, probably not.
I saw Thunder from Down Under, and, I, you know, just it was a girl's thing, and I was like, this will be hilarious. And it was hilarious, but I was surprised at how, like, it's so geared toward women, mm-hmm. you know? It's like these big macho hulks stomping around on tables, but it's like the thought that goes into making it enjoyable for women and how they are totally, like zoned in. Like, they can really read the room. They only, like, grind on the women who clearly are into it, and, like, they can read your body language if you're not into it, and it's just like, wow, I didn't really go into this expecting to feel, like, so loved and
yeah, and it's, like, oddly empowering.
Yeah, it really is.
The best advice I got about seeing Magic Mike was wear pants.
Oh, uh-huh. Because and, when they flip you around, you right. don't want, yeah.
So, but the
yeah.
best part of this is Forrest, my loving husband, dad to BFF.fm, is like, pants, why would you wear pants? And I was like, well, you've seen Magic Mike, right? Like, you've seen, like, you know, what happens. And he was like, oh. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, I could potentially be thrown around like a rag doll. for entertainment,
which is every woman's dream at this age.
So, like, pants and Advil.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we talking about Magic Mike?
Yes,
we did. We kind of went down a turn.
No, that's my favorite kind of turn.
Yeah. Well, you meant I have never seen a male review, and I feel like my life is worse for it. But Magic Mike the movie is what turned me around on that, and I feel like Channing Tatum is the very surprising feminist that we didn't know we needed and that we clearly deserve. So props to Channing Tatum, and I hope you guys have a blast at Magic Mike.
Getting back to girls' trips, we're going to be on like a miniature girls' trip of two, which I actually just did that with another BFF DJ. We went up to Portland for a weekend and just drank and told each other truths and
sang karaoke.
Like harassed bartenders. It was a lot of fun. So get ready for that.
I'm ready. I was born ready.
But I think one of the things that I liked a lot about Wine Country, and one of the things that makes these women's weekends so powerful, is just this like lack of expectation,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you don't have all of, you know, women have a lot of responsibilities in mm-hmm. this world. And a weekend away is an opportunity to just shed all of those expectations and just kind of get to be yourself for a couple of days.
I mean, I just have to say, when they get back to the house after like the first night and someone says, like, put on your stretchy pants, like, that really spoke to me.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, that's why I go on vacation now, just for the moment where I can put on the stretchy pants with the other people I'm with and like be my true self.
Yeah, it's also extremely far too real for me that you always go super hard the first night and then spend the rest of your weekend recovering from it. Yeah. Like, you can never quite recapture that first night magic.
That was definitely very resonant to me as well.
Where is the heat-making source? The kettle?
Yeah.
That's me.
Boy,
that really, like, the getting drunk and, like, just completely losing your nouns, that's something I'm definitely experiencing as I get older.
Yeah, I was very much the Paula Pell character in that situation where I was just like, fuck Ronald McDonald for making a fillet of fish. Fuck him seven ways to Sunday. Like, you just have this new appreciation. Jess and I went to LA last year, and I rhapsodized about fucking gummy bears for like more than 20 minutes the first night, and I was like, I really wish I had some gummy bears. And Jess had some gummy bears in her bag.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Were the champagne gummy bears?
Yeah, completely unrelated.
Talk about wine country.
But Nora, you missed the part where I was saying that I have a little bit of a cold, so I was on a little bit of cold medicine yesterday when I was trying to get...
I'm also getting over a cold.
To open my third eye about what is it that makes women's trips so successful. And I think that's exactly right, Amanda. Mm-hmm. I think it's that, like, women have this chance to just shed, like, all this other stuff. And I think that a big part of that, I know emotional labor is, like, a buzzword of the moment, but I think that's exactly what it is, like what you're saying. Like, you're on a trip with women, and it's people who have spent their entire lives doing the same thing you have and internalizing all these pressures and like how to be and how to accommodate other people, and everyone's kind of doing that for themselves, and it just releases this like burden that you walk through the world with. And I think that this movie did like a good job of showing that. So, props to Amy Poehler.
Yes.
Can I offer some feedback?
I totally thought
that you were serious for a second.
I was like, oh no.
I actually was going to go with some self-feedback on that and say that I'm full of shit. yeah, also, just in case you guys aren't clear, this movie is legit funny. Like, truly, these women are all very funny performers. There's a lot of really funny lines. Some of the movie was improvised, and I feel like that comes across really well. It's like scripted, but there are some lines where you can't see them. Like they're doing it for each other. Like they crack each other up, and that's why they're trying to be funny. The first time I've now watched it 2 times, and the first time I watched it, my husband was in the other room and was like above watching Wine Country, but then like slowly started moving closer and closer until he ended up on the couch next to me, and he's like, oh yeah, I don't really remember much of it. I think I fell asleep, and I'm like, you laughed your ass off.
I sat Forrest down. I watched it once, and then he was like, looking vaguely bored a couple days later, and I sat him down like this is an education on like the woman experience.
Yeah.
Like, just watch this movie, and he really liked it.
Yeah.
I've watched it 3 times now. I watched it, that's why I was late, because I was up late watching it for my 3rd time. And I will say, every time I watch it, there's something I catch that I did not catch the time before. Last night it was when they were going through the songs to play when they got back to the house, and someone suggested Sweet Home Alabama, and Amy Poehler goes, no, Kid Rock ruined that.
Yeah,
and I was
never.
Like, yo, that's true.
I also like when they're on the bus, and Devin, played by Jason Schwartzman, who we haven't even discussed yet, but he is suggesting, how about some Sublime? Some Chili's? Bush. He's like, everything Zen changed my life. And I'm like, that's so true. Everything Zen
tracks.
Did change that guy's life.
Yes.
It's absolutely true. That's one of the other things is, Jess and I last week talked about the Netflix movie Something Great, Someone Great. Gina Rodriguez is great. and we're talking about how kind of the rom-com has, I read an interesting piece from Ann Helen Peterson this morning about how the rom-com like declined in the early 2000s. And I think that that's true. And I think this new iteration of rom-coms is very female-centered and also female friendship-centered. Like, it's not about discovering somebody hot to, you know, and to make out with on your girl's trip. And there's a scene in this movie where Jason Schwartzman's the creepy chef that comes with the house. Devin. I have an important aside for you guys. Do you think Devin is spelled D-E-V-I-N or O-N?
All the Devins
they
I
leave
know
it
are
open.
With an I. So I'm going to go with the I. He also reminds me of all the Devins I've ever met.
Yeah, right?
Like they all are like very much cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, he's very Devin.
Yes.
Also, did you guys think that it was going to end with Devin not being real? Like, I totally thought Tina Fey was going to be like, who's Devin?
Yeah.
Oh but Devin comes with the house, and he is making
literally,
he's making this like 7-day fucking vat of paella and being completely obnoxious about it. But he propositions Amy Poehler, and there's this, I mean, truly exquisitely acted scene where you just see her face, and this is so foreign to her and so, like, outside the realm of anything that she's just, you see her, like, ponder it, and then she says, fine. In this completely flat affect.
That was the funniest scene for me. The really long length of time that she did it.
I was like, I would never. See, personally, if I woke up and found Jason Schwartzman making paella in my kitchen, I would, like, have jumped him right there. And then there would have been no, like, several day, like, ponderance. It would have been like, yes, this definitely is what I paid for this house for. This is why I'm here. But that's just me. And in my mind, he would have been Jason Schwartzman, not, you know. But,
yeah.
You know what I'm, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I kind of like that. One of the things I enjoyed is that Devin became a punchline in the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, yeah.
It ends. He's the only man, really, in the movie.
Yeah.
You see, what's the terrible husband's name?
Oh, Brian.
Brian.
Brian sucks.
You see him for 2 seconds playing Halo. But otherwise, they're really, like, no, men are very much in the background.
Yeah.
Or non-existent in the movie, which I really like.
And I love that it's just so, it's not even a thought for Amy Poehler, because he has just been background noise the whole time. And then, even then, like I said, like, he just becomes a punchline, and then Rachel Dratch.
Yeah, the follow-up was...
Me too!
Yeah, no, I also fucked Devin. Yeah.
And then Maya Rudolph, did I fuck Devin? And it's great, like, because that is one of the other amazing things about A Girls' Weekend, is that that is what it's like. You're not thinking about guys.
And that moment was, like, funny and shocking to everyone, and then they, like, immediately got over it.
Yeah.
You know, which is exactly the way it should be.
Yeah. And just, like, made it a group thing, too, which is...
Like, there was no real judgment there, you know, it was just kind of like, oh my god.
Yeah, the only love interest really in the movie was Jade, the waitress slash Fran Drescher artist.
So I read some reviews this morning. There were more than one negative or tepid reviews that I used the word butthurt in my email. I feel like we probably shouldn't say that word anymore, but, like, the millennial pushback was just so pouty.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure what that audience was expecting it to be.
Yeah,
I guess that's where I'm like, have you never watched these women do anything else?
You know what they should expect it to be? Their future.
Yeah,
yeah.
Embrace it,
because it's coming.
Get
ladies,
get your stretchy pants out and get on board. Yeah. It's coming for you.
It's later wonderful than you think.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You better get over your shit.
As Miss Sunshine would predict.
Well, they're supposed to be what I think. The first thing I tweeted, because I tweet things about the movie, was they're what, in their 50s?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I was like, I relate 50 to this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, I'm in my 30s still. And I'm like, there's nothing, I'm like, I'm really happy about that. Like, I have no problem with that at all. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm still going to be doing this shit 20 years from now?
I was like, this is a good omen for
me. It felt like the movie's critique of millennials was about their, you know, like, the art show is all about people being vain and, like, a need for attention, and everything is done for, like, likes or social media clout or whatever. And I feel like there's a certain lack of self-consciousness to be, like, annoyed by this movie and its assessment of millennials, when it's about women who are getting older and can do whatever they want because they're sort of invisible to the world when you're a woman of that age. And maybe there's a latent fear of becoming invisible because no one will like your Instagram anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that part of the, like, critique reaction is probably just because we hear so much, like, you know, bad millennial press. Like, everything's always like, millennials are always killing something. Mm-hmm. So I do, like, I even, like, when I saw the movie, like, I didn't think that was, like, one of the stronger points of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And when they started going in on millennials, it was kind of like, oh God, here we go.
Right.
But then, to quote another favorite show of mine, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, it was a lot more nuanced than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Where it wasn't really just about, oh, they're young. It was about, like you said, this entitlement and self-absorption. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, being a Gen X kid, we're, like, literally, like, I just want someone to fart in my general direction to feel a breeze.
Yeah. Like, no, literally the line that summed it up to me is when Amy Poehler is just like, oh, I just can't with the confidence on these people. And that's it. Like, that is it. It's like, we as a generation grew up thinking that you were a total piece of shit, and then these people are like, I'm super special, and you're like, how the fuck? fuck did that happen?
There's always a generational divide. Mm-hmm. And if we can't laugh about it, then we can't pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I don't think there will be a generation where it doesn't exist. Like, I was thinking, like, I'm like, even on, like, Downton Abbey, you know, like, Lord Grantham and whatever was, like, always looking at Sybil, like, oh, you and your pants and, like, marrying people
driving
below
a car.
Yeah, marrying people, like, who are poor and below your stature. Like, what are you doing? It's like, that always exists. But that's sort of the, like, that's just, I don't know. Joy of being in a changing time. I don't know. Like,
I did think that Wine Country totally nailed the art scene.
Yes.
Like, if anything, I thought that was an extremely accurate and like,
I was waited the art scene because that's what I think it's like.
Oh,
I was
that's
like,
pretty much what it's
I
like.
I was like, okay, this just
I have definitely been to art shows where the artist has gotten up and, like, given this big flowery speech, and then you're just like, it's nails protruding from, like, canvas and, like, with paint thrown on it.
Yeah.
Like, calm down.
It's literally 5 jello shots. That's what that is. Like, I am not sensing the fear in it. And I'm not, but if anything, I kind of had, like, a more generous reading of the millennial thing, too. I thought that it was, that scene ended with the millennials being like, oh, this is a piece. Because they literally could not even, like, think about that old as fuck viewpoint. Like, they're just like, what? Like, of course that doesn't make sense to us. And so I think that, yeah, it just kind of left it at, like, these people are in different places and they're never gonna, like, see it. But I didn't take it as, like, ragging on millennials. And that article that you forwarded to us this morning ends with the author saying that, you know, in a movie like this, where there's a rant like that, how far away are we from Louis C.K.'s rant on the parking studio?
Pretty far, actually.
Yeah, that's real far.
Godwin's law right there.
Can I just say something about that article also?
Would you like to provide feedback?
I would like to provide feedback on that article. One of the things that jumped out at me, and I think this is actually maybe where the generational divide is, that article opens saying, you know, Adam Sandler has, like, done all these movies for Netflix where he's basically getting paid for vacation, and now Amy Poehler's doing this, like, basically I forget exactly what the line is, but the takeaway is, like, is this what we fought so hard with feminism for?
Like, Adam Sandler gets to make mediocre movies and go on vacations to, like, set locations, and so is this equality that Amy Poehler's doing the same thing?
Yes, actually. And that's another reason that I, like, very vehemently defend the not over-the-top funniness of this movie, because, again, I think, like, there's so much pressure, and there's always been this like, feeling in society that women aren't funny, even though there have been generations of just, like, hilarious female comedians. And obviously Amy Poehler and Tina Fey are, like, another wave of that, where you're like, these women are hilarious and are writing all this brilliant material that men get to say. And I kind of love that the movie is funny, but they're not trying to make it, like, you know,
over the top,
or, like, the funniest movie ever.
Like, have it be, like, some sort of Jason Bourne-esque, like, when you look at the group of women that they have in this film, it's like, this is great material for them.
It just kind of reminds me of how...
rather than do nothing with their talents?
Yeah.
I guess this is sort of the, where I, you know, I approach that. It's like, what's the, okay, well, where are all the other endless scripts and scenarios for this demographic that they're turning away so they can make, you know, take Easy Street and make a... I didn't even know they got to go on all these vacations. This sounds like a great deal.
Yeah, also, let's just, like, we're all sitting here saying that there was a lot that we related to in this movie, and I will maybe go through the archives, but I don't know that there's a fucking, like, Adam Sandler podcast where men are like, oh man, that 50 First Dates where, like, she pretended that, like, she didn't know you, that just really resonated with me. Like, it's, they're at least, like, yes, maybe this movie did not change our lives, but we're all saying that, like, there's something deeply comforting and rewarding about seeing, like, this generation of women who are, like, invisible in society still be, like, viable and lean into that and just be like, we don't give a fuck. We're here for each other. Like, we don't need you or Adam Sandler or whatever.
It kind of reminds me of, like, the opposite of what's been happening with Melissa McCarthy's career, where she keeps subjecting herself to these movies where she's like over the top and like falling mm-hmm. downstairs. But then she delivers this amazing dramatic performance that's like so understated. And it kind of breaks my heart that I think that she's profoundly talented.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah.
But is always like just taking these roles where she's having to like go over the top to try to, I don't know, get attention or prove something. Yeah. I don't know. And I'm not blaming Melissa McCarthy as much as, like, I think that's just...
That's what's out there, I think. Yeah. Those are the options. Someone's... I think she would have been great in Wine Country.
Mm-hmm. I will ride or die for Spy, okay? So I won't hear a fucking word against it.
I do have to say Spy is, like, the one exception to the Melissa McCarthy, like, over the top.
Because she is over the top in that movie, but she's also extremely competent. She's, like, very capable, and she's a total badass in that movie. So it's rounded out. It's not just the, like, here I am falling down or shitting in the road. Like, it's, you know, yeah, so... anyway, let's go to another song, and then when we come back, we'll talk some more about Wine Country. We would also love to hear from you guys if you liked Wine Country, if you thought that as a millennial it disrespected you.
Yes, I also tell us more about that.
LOL'd at the line, like, I think time's up on Elf. And I was like, time will never be up on Elf, bitch. You shut your whore mouth. Time is not up on Elf, ever. I'm still waiting for my Gritty reboot, which is coming any day now. All right, we're going to go to another song, and then when we come back, we'll talk more about Wine Country. If you'd like to tweet at us in the meantime, we're at BFF TV on the radio. We'd love to hear from you.
Now the reason we're here as man and woman is to love each other, take care of each other. When love walks in the room, everybody stand up. Oh, it's good, good, good. Like Brigitte Bardot. Now look at the people in the streets, in the bars. We are all of us in the gutter. Some of us are looking at the stars. Look round the room. Life is unkind. This way, your eyes are blue, like the heavens above. Talk to me, darling, with a message of love. Now the reason we're here, every man, every woman, is to help each other, stand by each other. When love walks in the room, everybody stand up.
Thank you. are back, and we were all super prepared to be back. We weren't just talking amongst ourselves.
we went deep into wine country and our personal wine country.
I was just about to tell you all about how I was on Twitter, and a review tweet I saw of Wine Country was, "Oh, so they make a movie that's only for 50% of the population." And it just killed me. Like, it was just, it was just chef's kiss.
Yeah.
So unbelievably clueless.
Also, I mean, I do love how the fucking electrodes came out of your TV if you were a man and you were watching Wine Country. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really how all media should be consumed.
Oh, yeah. I neglected to mention that I sat Forrest down to watch the movie, and 30 seconds in, the TV punched him in the
dick. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Is he all right?
He's fine.
Okay.
We don't care. He's not in the 50% of the population that matters. So, yeah. Also, everything else that's going on in the world, but at least we have fucking Wine Country. Like, okay, great. I'm sure every woman in Georgia is like, we got Wine Country, though. Yeah. That's awesome. Who gives a shit that we can't have bodily autonomy? all right.
It's just 50% of the population.
Yeah. What else did you guys enjoy about the movie? I enjoyed the scene where they're drunk and they're shopping in downtown Napa, and they all come out with the oversized wine glasses. And then Emily Spivak looks over and says, I just spent $750. And they're all laughing because that's so true. You do get your blinged out wine shirt and like...
Mm-hmm. Well, especially I think that age of women, again, like who don't, you know, who have the means.
Uh-huh.
And it's like... Yeah, we're going to go into Napa and spend $750, and I'm going to come out with some really ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
But why not?
Amanda, you brought up how this really captures the bullshit of wine tasting when all anyone wants is to, like, fucking Instagram a nice view in your flowy dress and your sun hat. Like, that's you don't want to have to, like... guess a tasting notes of stuff, especially when you don't, like, there's one scene where... Again, Emily Spivak's character is like, oh, this is good. What is it? And Amy Poehler's like, white wine.
Yeah, she's like, I love it.
Or do you have to pretend that you're not there just to drink?
Yeah.
And, like, get drunk.
Yeah.
Like, pretty shortly after moving to San Francisco, I went on a trip with some friends that involved getting on one of those little buses and going around to different wineries. And
listening to the Chili's.
Yeah. But this whole a scene or like group of scenes where they're going from winery to winery and dealing, like, that was rings so true to me, because you go to these wineries and you're like, okay, I just want my, like, little tiny free glass of wine or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, the notes and the and what are you getting on the nose and the aftertaste? Yeah. And it's just like
canned peaches.
Just keep pouring.
Canned peaches.
Just, just, why don't you just go to a wine store?
Yeah.
Like, well, I would, but here I am.
This is this is prettier.
Yeah.
I would like to plug, just for a moment, we went on a wine tasting trip two years ago. I don't know, a year ago.
Is this our new sponsor?
Did we this is our new, our new sponsor.
Is this Cristalina?
Not affiliated with Cristal. But we went on a wine tasting trip, and... at the last winery we visited, at Jessica's suggestion, I was like, you know what? I'm so proud. Like, I've lived in this area for, like, whatever, 15 years, and I've never fucking joined a wine club. That was the wine club that I joined that day. But I would like to say, Larson Family Winery, dog friendly. They have cornhole. Like, it's super kid friendly. The last time we went there to pick up my shipment, our kid made friends with another kid, and then... she and this other kid made friends with two couples on a double date. And they all played cornhole for like 2 hours while my husband and I and this other, the parents of the other kids, sat around and ate like cowgirl creamery, like cheese.
Is this where you encountered the dog that ate the entire box of donuts?
Two dozen donuts. Yeah, they have three winery dogs that just mill around. And it's super, super chill. And there's no, like, what are you getting on this? It's just like, would you like a glass of wine? Would you like a bottle of wine? You can bring in outside food. Like, it's really awesome. So if you're looking for a chill, cool winery, Larson Family Vineyards is... highly recommended. Also, the thing I liked is these guys at all those wineries were like, oh, what notes do you get, blah, blah, blah. And the first time we went tasting, I was like, oh, I kind of like this rosé. And he's like, yeah, it's a real easy drink, and we call it our porch pounder. Oh, like, okay, I can go with that. Like, yeah. That's cool. But yeah, the bullshit you have to put up with when you're wine tasting and you're like, I just want to get drunk.
I also like, there was like, I don't know if it was a moment of self-awareness or what, but the scene where they're walking in the organic winery and they're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
And the woman. That woman in general was
so perfect. Very triggering. But when she's just like, excuse me, you're not supposed to be walking. And then is like, follow me. But I also loved that they captured their like drunk, wealthy white lady oblivion.
Yeah.
You just directly told me not to do something.
Yeah.
Let's just keep having a conversation. Yeah. And then having room to. And they're all just like, whatever.
Yeah. They're like, the sign's facing this way. Like, just, all of it is great. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to add about the movie?
I was shocked that Chekhov's Molly never got consumed.
Right?
I thought that I had to take them all. That and the paella never getting eaten was the two, like, blue balls moments for me.
I know.
I definitely would be the friend who brought the Molly, saying, like, that would have been me, and mentioned some sort of microdosing podcast. So I was like, yes. Which they all ended up listening to and falling asleep to, which I was like, that seems about right.
Yeah.
That, I think, maybe was the generational divide for me, is, like, if it would have been me and my friends, we would have absolutely taken the Molly and had sex with Jason Schwartzman. Like, the paella. I don't know. Once the squid's on the floor, I'm like, like, maybe not. It seemed a little dicey. But
it cooks for like 22 hours.
Well, clearly.
What do we think Devin did with that? He obviously like brought it to his band practice. Like, clearly he brought like
in Tupperware,
12 vats of paella.
Was he stirring it with like a canoe oar?
He was.
Probably that he had special made for the paella.
Yep.
That sounds about right.
I also love the through line of Anna Gasteyer dictating all her texts.
Yes.
It culminated in the snake emergency call, and then it ended with snake emoji.
I've never dictated anything. I don't trust Siri. I feel like she doesn't like me. She always screws up everything I'm trying to say. But I was like, I was inspired. I was like, could I just do that? Like, Siri, send so-and-so an email. Stop. 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 I don't know.
Telegram.
One of my favorite scenes where I feel like still on my third watching, I'm picking up on more amazingness, is when Paula Pell's character is handing out the vibrator.
Yes.
Like, it's puns on puns on puns, and it's amazing.
Also,
I've never really seen, I'm trying to think of what else she's been in.
Baby Mama.
Okay. She's like an untapped, like, found. I want more of her.
Yeah, Paula Pell.
I don't want her to go the way of Melissa McCarthy by any means, but I want more. Like, she was just so brilliant.
Yeah.
Even her in the very beginning in the Uber, where they're like, she can't, like, let a
stranger be a stranger.
I was like, I know that person.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
IRL, her partner is the woman at the art gallery that is like, is it okay that I'm offended?
Oh, no, really?
The person that takes umbrage.
I love that.
Yeah, she's actually a bit older than she appears, so they're not, like, they're pretty close in age. But yeah, I recently learned that, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Nice. Good for Paula Pell.
Getting it.
I was delighted to see Freckle turn up at the gallery.
Yes, yeah. I love Freckle.
Freckle is amazing.
I gasped. My friend, who is much younger than me, was like, who's Freckle? And I was like, oh, no. I was like, I'll send you an Instagram link later. I can't explain this right now.
I feel like I say this every week now, but if you guys haven't watched The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo, which is on YouTube, it's the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. One of the things that I forget where I was going with that, but something you said, Nora, reminded me of it, about how, like, there really is no judgment among this group, and, like, I feel like that's one of the things that I appreciate about, like, all my female friendships now, or, like, women are just, like, ride or die. And there's also, like, that's what it was. Like, the energy of them being these loud, like, women singing and handing out vibrators in this, like, fancy restaurant in Napa. Or actually, that was in Calistoga. But, like, it's such a different, less threatening energy than, like, fucking a group of men getting loud somewhere. Yes. You know, it's like, that's why they're friends with the waitstaff by the time they leave. Yeah, and, like, people allow that, you know, because it's, yeah, it's just, like, this there for each other energy that I enjoy.
I also think that the lack, the lack of judgment maybe kind of ties into what we were talking about earlier about it being, like, kind of low-key funny and not having, like, a lot of big moments.
Yeah.
I feel like because there's no judgment among them, that's what makes it feel really safe and comfortable. Mm-hmm. But it also kind of, like, takes away that, like, tension that usually comes in comedies and makes, you know, kind of amps up the funniness of situations. Mm-hmm. And I can't say that I really miss that.
Yeah.
No. Like, we don't, like, it's basically the, you know, it's just like how, like, Big Bang Theory has a laugh track.
Yeah.
You know, like, they make, when moments are big and dramatic, it makes the jokes funnier because you're pointing at the joke and saying, like, here's a joke, laugh at it. Where I think there were so many moments in the movie, like the vibrator scene, where it just kind of happened and they moved on, and you could almost miss it if you if you weren't paying attention.
I feel like in another movie, that scene would have been ended with them getting kicked out of the restaurant or something. Yeah. But it's just,
Or like, I'll have what she's having.
One of the things, sorry to keep going back to Busy Tonight, R.I.P. But one of, I'm still not over that.
No,
but one of the things that they said on that interview was that that was something that they took from a real trip that they went on, where Paul Appel gave everybody vibrators in a restaurant and, like, had a reason for why she was giving them all the vibrators. And she said the thing they didn't show is that that night, like, they left dinner and then it was like 7:30 and everyone was like, okay, good night. Just, like, went to their room. And she said that that night, like, she was doing a ton of puns, but she didn't come up with Jolly Old Saint Dick, and that's why, and she was pissed that she didn't come up with it, so that's why it made it into the movie.
That's amazing.
That's why they made the movie.
Yeah, because you get to go back and, like, improve your material. Who doesn't fucking want that?
That's genius. That whole scene was spot on. The CEO, like, the bedroom, not the boardroom. Like, oh my god. Every time I watch it, there's something else that, like, jumps out at me. It's so funny.
I watched an interview with Rachel Dratch because it was her 50th birthday that the movie was kind of loosely based on, where she talked about, like, what some of the real things that happened in the movie were.
There was a chef that came with the house.
There was a chef. Yeah, he was not Devin, sadly.
Well, that's why you make the movie version where it's, you know,
right,
having to be like Channing Tatum. Being like some, like, seven cheese mac and cheese or something, where he'd, like, milk the cow and do the thing. It would be a whole thing. that's a side tangent.
She said the other part of the movie that was pulled directly from her birthday was the tarot reading.
Oh, God.
Except she said that...
Madame Sunshine.
She said that the actual person that they got wasn't giving them these, like, doom and gloom readings, but that she was extremely... Like, they were all just there to have a good time, and the tarot reader was, like, being very serious and, like, don't touch my cards and, like, don't approach me. And then at the end was like, okay, that'll be $750. Which I thought was really great. And I think, like, that's, like, another big takeaway of the movie for me is that because, like, I think I said when we were coming in, I don't really remember the characters' names at all.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, it's Maya Rudolph and Rachel Dratch. Like, so much of it felt so natural. And you really did feel like you were watching Rachel Dratch's, like, actual 50th birthday.
Yeah.
And I think that's another reason I love the movie so much, because of that relatability, it's like, yeah, you're like, these are women that I really respect and admire and think are hilarious,
mm-hmm.
and we're having a shared experience.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and just because I cannot let it go without getting some of my fucking favorite lines in. I love where they're taking the selfie and Tina Fey shows up in the background and Paul Appel says, is that a ghost? And they're like, yes, it's the ghost of Amelia Earhart, and she's carrying a baby.
Like Tina Fey carrying a bundle of firewood.
Yeah.
A pignon. Bush Tina Fey.
Yeah. And then I also love, like, we were sister, like, life is real, and we were in the trenches. We were sisters in the pizza trenches. I was actually trying to decorate the cups that said, like, we're sisters in the radio trenches, but I didn't. We'll post a picture of the, I went with the basic bitch package instead. We'll post a picture of these cups that I made for everyone.
Is the Wi-Fi password here still Penis Grigio 72?
Yes. Oh, Pinot Grigio.
Pinot Grigio. Yeah.
Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, also Rachel Dratch, after spending the night like with her back seized up, saying like, once you've looked into a raccoon's eyes, you know yourself.
Like, how did you know it was a man?
And then Maya Rudolph being like, did you take that Molly? Yeah. Like, that's me. That's my character. Like the one who just goes off on some tangent and everyone's like, did you fucking take the Molly? Like, yeah, what are you talking about right now?
Also in that scene, the moment of relief when you can stop pretending that someone's partner isn't total bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But again, fucking, she's still with Brian. We all know that.
Oh yeah. There's no.
Yeah. And that's, Nora, you weren't here for that part, but I liked how the movie ended with them still on the trip. Like, there was no happy montage of fucking
them, like, leaving
her being a Zamboni driver, like Anna Gasteyer being a Zamboni driver, Amy Poehler owning a bookstore.
It ended with prawns.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Just like all the girls' weekend shit.
Yes.
All right, let's go to a quick Q&A for you ladies. What are some things we say now that we're older?
Can you pick that up for me?
What's the first song? I love how they devoted so much time to the playlist. And, like, what's the first song on your playlist for raging the first night of your girls' trip? When you get home drunk and you're, like, overthinking it?
We were texting about this, actually, because we had a hard time with this one.
Yeah, because we don't have any shame.
We have no shame.
So we were like, what is your
question? We're going to Vegas to see Magic Mike. Yeah. And then we're seeing Robbie Williams, like, the next day. Yeah. It's like a no shame vacay. So, yeah. Like,
nor should there be any shame. That's amazing.
So, What did we agree on?
Oh, we were like, okay, there's Pony.
Pony, genuine.
Oh,
Pony.
Pony's a good one.
I was like, you put Pony on, and I'm like,
that just sets the tone. Yeah.
I can't not do the, like, I think I'm Channing Tatum, like, doing the hip moves that I don't, like, my hips don't move like that anymore. Things I say now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Pony, always a good one. I mean, prawns, obviously. You put some prawns on. You're always having a good time.
I like to torture people with music. And sure. I have three really heavy hitters that really do it every time. One is Sandstorm by Darude.
Oh.
Like, I will just work. Yes. Like, I'll be like, oh, let me just put this on the playlist. And then you hear everyone be like, but then also, like, just start raging out. Because you can't not really, like, go hard to Sandstorm. In that same vein, Blue by Eiffel 65.
You said that to me yesterday. I was like, I just ignored it. I was like, what?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, remember when that happened?
Yeah.
I do a robot dance, so that I'm like, I'm Blue.
And then,
I'm doing it right now. You can't see it.
When I DJ, a lot of times a song I like to go out on, because it's very much like you can't come up with anything that's going to follow this, the night is over, is Len, Steal My Sunshine.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one to end things on, for sure. That's Ace of Base is that vein for me, too. Mm. I like, you always, The Sign is a good one.
I have a question for the two of you ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Which character from Wine Country are you? You can't pick your own character. You have to.
You're a character each other.
Oh damn.
Wait, so I'm picking for Leah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Guys, I'm so glad you were all here for the very last episode of TV on the Radio after we no longer speak to each other.
You're the Maya Rudolph.
Oh, sure. We just had, that's the safest bet. Thank you.
No, I'm but I mean, really, like, you get more, like, when you're drinking, you're ready to sing karaoke. And
I could definitely see you falling off a piano.
Yeah, I am.
I have, like, seen it.
Yeah. I am way down for anything.
I'll let you get the jumpsuit
if you want to do it. Wait. Yeah, I would say, like, that's spirit of adventure and, like, not wanting to deal with anything. I was very fucking triggered by the snake scene. That's a real I don't know why they had, like, they could have just said she was bitten by a snake. Like,
they didn't need to wasn't it just the stick? It
was they
just
didn't
the
need to show it slithering away. That was very hard for me to deal with. I don't know, I would say you are the you're like the best of all of them. I don't know. You're an amalgam of all the good parts of all of those characters. I don't know. You're the winery lady, maybe. Wine diamonds.
Wine diamonds.
You're my wine diamond, Jess. Always will be.
Just follow me.
Just keep following me.
No.
This is an organic winery.
Well, yeah, it's Napa. No, I don't know. You're Paula Pell, maybe. You're hilarious and, like, hilarious and cool and, like, always up for trying stuff. So what is, speaking of winery karaoke, what's your drunk winery karaoke song that you get up and perform with the house band at the winery, despite them saying, ma'am, ma'am, please.
Wink, wink. Yeah. probably Kiss from a Rose.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's a good one.
Is it too bad to say, like, UB40, red, red wine?
Oh, there you go. Like, right, I mean, on the nose.
I like to be very on theme.
Literal. Like, yeah. That's just, yeah, you know. I like it. Who's your Brené Brown encounter? Like, who are you going to lose your shit for when you're in a fancy restaurant and you're like, guys, guess who's here?
Is it bad that I did not know who Brené Brown was before I watched Wine Country?
I had heard her name, but I haven't.
And now I have her Netflix special. It's on the top of my list, and I'm afraid to watch it.
I watched it.
Did you?
Yeah, it was fine.
I feel like I have to be in the right headspace.
She's very accessible.
Yeah, okay.
Very conversational. She tells a lot of stories.
Boundaries.
Oprah, obviously.
Mm. Oh, sure, sure.
Or, like, you know, even if it was, like, a Cheryl Strayed or something. Or any of the women in the movie, I think, if Maya Rudolph was in Wine Country for dinner, I would invade her boundaries. Yeah. I'd be like, excuse me.
I feel like Maya Rudolph, too, would just be like, pull up a fucking chair. Yeah. Like, absolutely.